All right, let's go to the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13, if you will, please. Take your own Bibles out. And we're in a series called God's Prophetic Purposes, and this is our fourth part in that series. And those of you who have smaller children, younger children, rather, I should say, who want to be in a children's ministry time back in the back, I know we have people there and materials there for your children. All right, this is a lesson that I don't normally preach, these kinds of messages. I normally spend my time every Sunday, pretty much, in application, fresh application of how we walk. Now, if you've been with us the last several services, you understand that the application, even from the book of Revelation, is the most important part of what we're talking about. How does this apply to me today? It's one thing to study the Bible as a history book. It's another thing to understand allegorical purposes. It's another thing to understand the future. And, you know, who knows? Anybody's guess is where the future will go and what will happen. But the preparationist viewpoint of the book of Revelation, how we prepare ourselves to be in what God is doing and how we qualify, if you will, the choices we make are absolutely crucial. You understand, don't you, that you're all choosing people, right? Let me see your eyes. You're all choosing people. Let me see your hands. Now let me see your feet. You're choosing people, and where you choose to go to church, what you choose to wear this morning, how you choose to live, and the kinds of choices you make. We've been talking about being at a crossroads, and I am sincerely convinced that we are. I think we are hurtling toward the destinies of the final days, and I think we're rushing toward climactic conclusions. Anybody watch the news this week to see all of the activity taking place in the Middle East? You can't help. You know, a couple of years ago, I remember saying, keep an eye on Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus, and pull out another eye and keep an eye on Israel and what God's doing there. And what's happening is just amazing day by day. And we're watching a prophetic timetable unfold. It was nearly 60 years ago that Israel was rebirthed as a nation in 1948. The Bible talks about a nation being born in a day. And Israel was born in a day. It was exactly 40 years ago, a week ago, exactly 40 years ago, on the 6th and 7th of June, if you will, a six-day period called the Six-Day War in Israel. And all of Jerusalem came into the hands of Jewish control again for the first time in thousands of years. We're watching prophetic timetables be unfolded. And last week, we talked about the mark of God. How many want to wear the mark of God? All hands should go up. I want God's mark on me. That word is literally meaning a significant imprint. I want to be stamped with God's stamp. If you branded cattle ever, or you've seen that, there's a brand on that animal. And God puts His brand, His seal on our hearts and our minds and upon our lives. I want to be marked with the mark of God, and there's only two choices. Be marked with the mark of God or receive the mark of the beast. How many agree with me? I don't want anything to do with receiving the mark of the beast. Yes. Now I know it'd probably be easier if I were preaching on Father's Day this morning. So, fathers, be blessed. Love you. Glad you're here. There you go. Amen. All right, how's that? Okay, but I believe that we should be talking this morning in a prophetic timetable. And I want to talk this morning about the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? How does it impact us? And what does it mean to us? What is it exactly? I don't know. I have some thoughts I'm going to share with you this morning. In fact, I have some absolutely incredible things to bring your way that are unfolding. Remember also, we are in a period of 40 days of fasting and prayer. Those of you who can fast any number of days or portions of a day or from particular portions of kinds of foods, Daniel's fast, whatever it is, there is a sincere seeking of the Lord by thousands of believers across the nation as we come up to 7707. There'll be a conference gathering that is going to be people praying that God will intervene in our nation and hold the hand of judgment and release the hand of revival. How many would like to see revival break out in our country? Amen. I would like to see it. Lord, let it break out. The Bible declares He will fill this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. Lord, let us see it. But as we take a look at these things, I think we need to understand first what we did last week, the mark of God. And if you receive the mark of God, you respond to His love. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're in right relationship with God, the time to be in right relationship with God is now. And we're here to help you, and obviously would be thrilled and honored to pray with you at the conclusion of this service if you would like that kind of prayer. But this morning, let's go on and talk some about the mark of the beast. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, if you will. And I'm going to spend quite a number of scriptures, or take time on quite a number of scriptures in the book of Revelation. You're going to be moving back and forth through some of these. And I really want you to see it in your own Bible. Revelation chapter 13. Verses 15 through 18. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we have some at a back table. Just simply let your need be known to someone around you who's here constantly or continually, and they'll be able to get a Bible for you, okay? All right, Revelation 13, verses 15 through 18, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Bible. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be, what was that? To be killed. This is a serious scripture, isn't it? Verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive, say the phrase with me, a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. This sounds like sci-fi. Mark of the beast. But the mark of the beast is in the Bible. What does it mean? It's not just for sci-fi movies. What does it really mean? A mark on their foreheads. Verse 17. Look at what it means. Look at what it results in. That no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding, verse 18, calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. You've all heard of that. And there are some who say that name or the number represents or corresponds to the numbers that were ascribed to the letters in the Greek alphabet. And this is really a hidden reference to Nero, who was literally despicable. And he burned Christians at the stake as his night torches for his gardens. And he did terrible things, great persecutions. Blood of Christians ran in the streets in Nero's reign. And they were terrified of this man. And if you add up the numbers of his name, according to the Greek alphabet and numeric system, you come up with 666. Well, that's an interesting conjecture, and there have been people through the ages. How many remember, been around for 40 years? I think there was even a book, Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist, remember? How many remember Henry Kissinger? Okay. I mean, there have been any number of things said or thought about this. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. Verses 9 through 12 is where I'll be reading. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 12. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his, what? Mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength. I might say, by the way, when we sing that last song from Revelation, worthy is the Lamb, the beast, and the elders, that's a different beast there. That's not the Antichrist beast, okay? He himself, verse 10, shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image. And whoever receives, say it with me please, the mark of his name. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So we have Christ and we have Antichrist. Revelation 16, verse 2. Revelation 16, verse 2. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. Revelation 16, verse 2. I'm reading from the New King James. And a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. Revelation 19, verse 20. I want you to see this from your own Bible so you know that these things are in the Scriptures. Revelation 19, verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he, please say the next word with me, deceived. In my New King James, it is the word deceived. Deceived those who received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. All right. What is the mark? The Greek word is sharkama. Karagma, I should say. It's karagma. Better pronunciation. Karagma. And it's a Greek word meaning a scratch or an etching, a stamp or a badge of servitude. A badge of servitude. The stamp, the seal, the endorsement of the beast is a badge of servitude on the right hand or in the forehead. It literally is carved into you. Now, some may put this in allegorical fashion. Some may say it is literal. But at the very least, let me tell you what is literal. There is a spirit stamped and impressed in the spirit of the people who worship the Antichrist and the beast. Now, we love everybody, for God so loved the world that He gave. This message is not about judging people who turn. This message is to give us who are in preparation and watching and praying reason to pray even more. Reason to reach out even more to people that don't know Him. Some people get terrified by these things. If you allow that fear to bring you to Jesus, that's all right. There's no fear for those who are hidden in Christ in God. Our God is not the author of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But there is fear if you're not right with God. There should be. And the Bible says it is an awesome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. How many understand that? Ever had any conviction in your life against sin? Come on, don't look so pious at me. You ever been scared of anybody ever in your life? Aren't you glad right after you did that sin, no matter what it was? Now don't be thinking the worst thing of me, Cease. No matter what it was. Aren't you glad you didn't die right at that moment? At least let me ask forgiveness first. But, you know, it's a fearful thing. And conviction, it's not necessarily full of fear, but it is full of that, I better get right with God. Come on, church. Anybody in this room ever feel like, I better get right with God? The truth is, we are in a day where you better get right, stay right, be right with God and grow. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. It's that kind of time in our lives. It's not time to fool around. That doesn't mean we all become monks. We all just sit in this room all day long. We read the Scriptures and, you know, then we wake each other up and then we, you know. That's not what we're talking about. We live life, but we walk with God. What does it mean to walk with God? But this soul is branded. The Bible says the conscience is seared with a hot iron. The soul is branded. Who are you loyal to? There's a loyalty that goes to the enemy. In the old days, come on guys, how many were loyal to Ford? Come on, how many Ford guys in the room? One, two, and gals, okay. How many Chevy people in the room? Okay. How many Dodge people? Okay. Studebaker. Oh, yeah, okay. Any Rambler people? You had a loyalty to a brand. My dad drove a Chevy. I drive a Chevy. My kids are going to drive a Chevy to the levee. Okay? Nowadays, you understand there's very little brand loyalty. You know what I should do on behalf of my son being here? How many drive Mazdas? He's a sales manager at the Mazda store in Yakima. So if you need a car, I'm sorry, that's enough of an ad. Okay. What do you drive? There's very little loyalty anymore to name brands. But this issue is you are branded to one or to the other. I pray that when you see me, you understand, though I'm not perfect and you understand that. He belongs to Jesus. He belongs to the Lord. I hope that is what is seen from my life. I wear the stamp, not just my heart on my sleeve. I wear the stamp. I'm branded. I'm marked. I'm a marked man. Okay? It's true. I pray you are as well. You know that you are. And people around you, your family who knows you best, hopefully knows it most. I've had to do a lot of repenting over the years of things that I knew I could have done better as a better dad, better husband. But overall, I've loved my family all my days. And hopefully, they know that. All right? Conscience seared with hot iron, or loyal to Jesus. You're going to be loyal to one or to the other, and the choices that you make reveal that loyalty. All right, I want to talk for a couple of moments about the spirit of deception. We think, oh man, he's really way out there. How dumb. People wouldn't do any of this stuff. Folks, there is a spirit of deception that is loosed in our land. The Bible says in the last days are marked by this kind of spirit. They call bad, good, and they call what is good, bad. How many understand the reputation of the church and men and women of God? We don't want them around here. Bad. But is it really? No, there have been some bad things done. We're sinners saved by grace. We're people that need the Lord. But we're a redeemed Christian community that helps each other get it right. Amen? But there is a spirit of deception loosed in our land. When we think what we are doing is right, but it is clearly wrong, we are in deception. The spirit of our age. Now, I want to say a phrase, and I want to say it very carefully, and I'll repeat it to you because I think it's important. Satan, and we spell Satan with a small s around here. A lot of people worship Satan almost as much as they do God. Now, worship, what I mean is they give place to him. They give fear to him. They give authority to him. And Christians are the ones who are supposed to rise up and have authority over the devil. Amen? There's victory in Jesus. Satan is not all-knowing. Satan is not omnipresent. He wants to be all-controlling. He is not all-knowing. He wants to be all-controlling. And the way he goes about to accomplish that primarily or especially is through a spirit of lies and deception. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Pastor Carl's got a great book on all of this. The theology on the devil, a lot of Christians spend their time running around sniveling, I don't have any victory, I can't get any victory, when in reality they need to walk up and put the devil under defeat.
Yes.
Defeat. D-E-F-E-A-T. Defeat. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and he wants to steal your life from you. All right, Matthew 24. You don't have to turn there. Keep your finger in Revelation, but let me give you the scriptures if you're writing them down. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. Matthew 24, 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many." Mark 13, verse 22. Mark 13, 22. "For as false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the very elect." Those who belong to God, the enemy's trying to deceive you and separate you from God. Anybody in this room want to be separated from God? No. But that's what he's trying to do. Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil." The devil. The Wile E. Coyote. Anybody ever watch cartoons? Okay. The wiles. What does it mean? That word in the Greek is methodouia. And it means the travesty, the trickery. The enemy does tricks and travesties to try to deceive you. Now, miracles are ascribed to the wrong beast, to the demonic hordes, in the book of Revelation. At the end times, the Antichrist and his beast accomplish miracles. Church, I want to tell you something very straightforward. If you gather around a revival just because it has a few miracles, you better look more deeply. because the very elect can be deceived even by the working of miracles. Is it really Jesus Christ they're preaching? Is there really good fruit in that? Do they really walk with the Lord? Is there fruit? Do they stand on the Word of God? Which is the Word of God? The Bible. How many love your Bible? A lot of questions here this morning. A lot of response. But do you love the Word? You look for the fruit. You look for the things, the tangible fruit. The Bible says test every spirit, doesn't it? To see whether it be of God. So you test these kinds of things. So our prayer is God grant us a spirit of discernment as we move into these final days to test the spirits to see whether they be of God. Look at the fruit. Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to His Word. Stay close to each other. Continue to encourage each other to run after the Lord, to be kept from error and in truth. Right? Who's the Antichrist? Who or what is the Antichrist, really? In the Gospels, you have Jesus in His temptation, and the devil comes to Him in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. And the devil offers Him the right to dispose of all kingdoms of the world. The temptation is a struggle between Christ and the Antichrist, the devil, right? In the parable of the tares and the wheat, he that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13. He that sows the tares is the devil, who is the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? The devil. Right? Okay. Jesus felt it was the worst of insults to ascribe to the devil the miracles that He did. There's Christ, what He does, and there's Antichrist. All right, you come to the Pauline epistles, to the epistles of Paul. And you find, now this is very interesting. Paul gets a revelation that there is going to be an assault upon the church more than the world or the church has ever seen. And it gets fulfilled. Anybody remember in your history a Roman emperor named Caligula? Caligula? All right. Caligula was one of the worst of the Roman emperors. He was literally mad and depraved. He claimed to be worshipped as a god, or laid claim to be worshipped as a god. He had a temple erected to him in Rome. And the other thing that Caligula did, he demanded his own statue be set up in the temple at Jerusalem in order to be worshipped. Now, how many remember a scripture that talks about the abomination of desolation in the temple? All right? So there are some fulfillments along the ways of some of these things. Then we get to John's epistles. The Apostle John. Now, although the features of the Bible talks about the man of sin and people thought that was Nero, Nero passed off the scene and Jesus had not yet returned at his death. And those who wrote after Nero died and fell, some people thought another one would be rising up. And then John, the Apostle John, comes in his writings. John is the only one of the New Testament writers who uses the word Antichrist. The only one. And he is especially using it to point out a movement, a force that was at work around them. And John says this, even now, many Antichrists have arisen. Many Antichrists. People anti the truth. All right, remember what Paul did? Now, I know this is academic in some measure, but I really want to get to some very interesting things this morning. So please hang in there with me. Remember what Paul stood against? The Gnosticism? Remember one of the tests, and even John repeats it. The test to see if these people are of God is to see whether they acknowledge Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Remember? Why is it important to acknowledge that Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Because people in Gnosticism taught that good is spirit, body is bad. God is good, therefore He only came in spirit, therefore this one can't be God when Jesus came in the flesh. We know Jesus Christ came in the flesh, took your sins and mine on the cross of Calvary. How many are glad that He did? So how many are confessing this morning Jesus Christ came in the flesh? Now there was another error where people said, He was only a nice guy in the flesh, and he wasn't God. They're kind of the same thing, but they're closely related. The point is, John looks at these and he says, there are many antichrists, anti-Christian teachings, false Christs, false prophets that are in the world. Beware and don't go their way. Then we get to the book of Revelation. And we see the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, man, you go on quite a ride from chapter 10 through chapter 22, right? How many understand everything there is to know about the book of Revelation? You're talking about Revelation, and outside of some of these things, some of your eyes get real glassy. You go, yeah, go right ahead, preach on it, Pastor Kevin. Interesting conjecture. We'll see what's going to take place. I think our proper preparation is the most important part we take from the book of Revelation, and that's what I'm after this morning. But in the book of Revelation, the apostle John now sees a whole system as the incarnation of the spirit of Satan. And you've got the identity of symbols, you've got seven heads and ten horns, and that's applied to the dragon and to the beast, and really it boils down to a lot of application to the Roman Empire. How many understand Rome is built on seven hills? And so they say, well, that must be Rome. And how many understand? There are some who for generations said it was the papacy and that particular church in Rome that is the beast. How many know some very loving Jesus Christians in the Catholic Church? Of course we do. Of course we do. But see, what you have to be aware of is pouncing on something and saying, well, that person's the Antichrist. Now, what we want to do, folks, is pray that God gives us discernment. Don't give ourselves over to what people are purporting or propounding in those kinds of systems. And be wary, because the Bible does talk about a literal Antichrist coming to the forefront. I think there is a movement, an Antichrist movement, and I think there will be, clearly according to the Scriptures, something that moves in an Antichrist or could be called the Antichrist. What is it? The Bible warns us to stay away from that which has a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. How many understand there are a lot of teachings out there that have a lot of godly sounding things to them, but they don't take you to Jesus? Where is there real help for your soul this morning? In who? In Jesus. All right. There are clear warnings in Scripture. Clear warnings. To any who worship the beast, worship the image of the beast, or take the mark of the beast in the hand or forehead, the Bible says they will drink of the wine of the wrath of God forever. Now, we serve a loving God who wants people not to go to hell in judgment. That's why He's granted us time. He wants to seal, to mark, to shelter His people and take care of them, us, and take care of people. So what we need to do is reach out to people all around us with the truth of Jesus. Say a hearty amen and punch your neighbor in the arm. Say amen. The Bible declares, lest we think He's not just in bringing judgment sometime in the future. The Bible says He is just in all His ways and just in all His judgments. How many understand that there's more blood shed from Christian people, there's more blood running in the streets from Christian martyrs in the 20th century than in any other century to date? Millions upon millions of people lost their lives, taken from them, simply because they love Jesus and preach in His name. Now, we live here in comfy Port Ludlow. We don't like to think about that. But the reality is, it has happened. All right, go to Revelation chapter 16, would you please? What is our choice? Surrender, turn from sin, yield to the Lord and receive His mark, or what unfolds for those who receive the mark of the beast? Revelation 16, verses 1 and 2. Revelation 16, verses 1 and 2. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Flip over to Revelation 19, please. Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. Are you breathing? Good. One person is. Very good. Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. You understand Jesus Christ is in charge, right? Get all excited, go tell everybody Jesus Christ is king. He's King of kings, Lord of lords. How many understand the devil is not smart? Do you think the devil's going to win against God? How many think that? But he's going to try, right? And he does try. He tries to deceive people. He tries to take people away from God. And so here we have him trying. Then the beast was captured. Verse 20, with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Folks, what's going on? There is a battle for your soul. Temptation, the devil and hell are real. Demonic forces are real. There is a battle for your soul. Can we talk honestly? Can we talk? I feel a little like Joan Collins. Or Joan, what's her name? Joan Rivers. Can we talk? You know, one of the main things that we're going to look at in Scripture, one of the main things that is tied into all of this that tells the attitude of your heart, and I'm not going to spend a long time on it, but it's important to recognize, is it's tied up with money and the love of money. How many understand the Bible doesn't say money's evil? It says the love of money is evil. There's one place in the Bible where Jesus turns to the rich young ruler. He says, go sell it all, give it up, and come follow me. He did it for one person. How many understand that wasn't his normal counsel for everybody? He knew right where to touch that person. Okay? In the Bible, in the book of Acts, when they sold their houses and possessions and came and laid the proceeds at the feet to take care of those in the body of Christ, how many understand that happened one time? It wasn't a normal thing. You don't go on in the book of Acts and everybody kept selling everything, right? Are you all with me this morning? Okay? You all understand what I'm saying? They didn't all sell their houses. They met daily from house to house. And Jesus had several benefactors. Lydia, who worked in purple. She was rich. Ladies, is it a sin to be rich? Not as long as riches don't have you. Right? Jesus was supported in his ministry by several people who were loaded, thank God. It's not a sin to be poor. It's not a sin to be rich. It's a sin to be held captive by riches and the love of money. How many understand the poor can have a greater bondage to riches than some rich? They're consumed by it day in and day out. The issue is the love of money. But what is your heart? Where is it? And who owns it is what this is all about. The mark of the beast, as we read the scriptures, impacts whether or not you can buy or sell. Buying and selling, the power to live your life, and will you be tempted to throw away your walk with God for the pursuit of possessions? Are you tempted to throw away your moral walk with God for advancement on the job? To sell your soul. How many have ever heard that phrase? People selling your soul. How many have ever been tempted for riches? How many wish you had more to be tempted by? Okay. The mark of the beast especially impacts buying and selling, the power to live your life or to throw it away, and to throw away your walk with God for possessions. Church, I'm just here to tell you, stay true to Jesus. No matter what, bottom line, stay true to Jesus. Life boils down to whether or not you have surrendered to Him. John 3:16-17, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. All right. If you stay true to Him, what does it mean? Revelation 15. Turn back to Revelation 15. We're jumping around this morning, I know. But these all impact your decisions and the way you walk today. Revelation 15, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass. Revelation 15 verse 2 is where I am at now. A sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great, marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Revelation 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. So there are those who have victory. Are you in that camp? I'm going to have victory over the devil and over his mark, right? Receive the mark of God. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark in their foreheads or on their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Let's talk about the sign of the times. Give me 10 more minutes and we're done. The sign of the times. We are hurtling toward the conclusion of the ages. How many understand evil, a spirit of evil, is pouring forth in the streets of our nation and all around the world? We are fighting a demonic terrorism spirit. The Islamofascism spirit is doomed, or destined rather, in their perspective, to destroy America, destroy Israel. You're in their crosshairs. We don't hate a people group. We hate a spirit that controls it. It's a demonic spirit. And we rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. But what we see all around us is a spirit of Antichrist. Complete devaluation of life. How many understand millions of babies aborted is sin? I know this is not really high up there, great shout-out preaching, but how many understand our nation has sinned? How many understand that terrorism and blowing up of innocence, and how many understand we care more for our animals than for people in our country? Devaluation of life. Number two, the world is being staged and set for a worldwide government. Now, I sound like a conspiracy theorist. Folks, I'm not a conspiracy nut. But I am telling you, the stage is set. And they are looking to try to disestablish nations. There is an onslaught on the border and the borders of our country and of countries around the world. People are after a single monetary unit, a single military, a single worldwide religion. And technology for the mark of the beast is an accomplished fact. Technology for the mark of the beast, if you're still awake with me, is an accomplished fact. I have several things I want to do, and then I'm going to show you some stuff. Church, we need to watch and pray. That's what the Bible says. Fear not, but watch and pray. Number two, we need to cry out to God for revival, to heal our land. Number three, we need to be discerning and more discerning than ever. So we test the spirits. And number four, we need to stay close to Jesus. Because there will be temptations to turn in different directions, and it will seem very, very reasonable. Y'all with me? How many of you would like to see a couple of technology advances? But you want to learn about some technology advances? There's this one from FEMA. I don't know if you can see that very well. How many know what that is? Nope. It's the tip of a finger. Within the last couple of months, the report that has become available is that the world's smallest and tiniest RFID tags have been introduced by Hitachi. They are miracles of miniaturization. They're radio frequency identification chips. And the newest ones measure 5/100ths by 5/100ths of a millimeter. The previous record holder is that black spot. Can you see that? On that tip of the finger? That black spot holds a wealth, or at least some, digital numbers. That was the previous generation of chip that is called the MU, or the MU chip, and it's 4/10ths by 4/10ths of a millimeter. And the new powder-typed tags that have just been developed are 60 times smaller. And that's the tip of a finger. Now, let me just talk to you about this. The new stuff is so small that it can easily be incorporated into thin paper, like that used in paper currency and gift certificates. Literally can be worked into any product. And it's especially being touted as a product that can be used to identify and track people. If police agencies, for instance, sprinkled these around certain places, every individual who crossed the threshold where these things were sprinkled could be tracked and later identified at leisure with a powerful enough tag scanner. They're working on all of this kind of technology now. Animal tags. You've all heard of that, I'm sure. Since 1996, they've been talking about animal tags. And this was reported January 11th of this year. 40 million farm animals in America are expected to be affixed to a chip to track and respond quickly. Why? It's all very reasonable. To fight disease, bioterrorism, other calamities. But the theory that is going from there is this. Test it on animals first. Demonstrate the viability of the radio frequency identification device, the RFID, to monitor each and every animal's movements and health history from birth to death. Next step is moving on to people. There are human chip companies. The microchipping of livestock and pet animals is intended to make tagging more acceptable in helping these companies market their devices. Anyone ever hear of the Verichip Corporation? The Verichip Corporation has been building an infrastructure by signing up more than 400 hospitals to adopt a system scanner and databases and about 1,200 physicians to make chips available to patients likeliest to benefit from them. Sounds so reasonable. People like those who have diabetes or heart problems. Now, remember when I said the issue of a lot of this is the money, buying and selling? Folks, remember the old adage, follow the money? You're all very quiet. Anybody remember the old adage, follow the money? No, that's a new one you made up, Kevin. Follow the money. There are two guys especially working on this in these corporations, and their companies are not related, but the company that owns them is the same company. Larger farms are joining the RFID program. Michigan begins requiring RFID tags, apparently this last March. In 1996, they voted not to do so. Farmers running mid-sized and large operations are signing up for this in growing numbers. 343,186 farms have registered already. Now, here's the deal. It's all reasonable. Listen, guys, I don't have flames coming out of my ears here this morning. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm simply saying, look at what the technology is. It all sounds so reasonable. And here's what they're saying. Listen, if the farm animals, we have to take care of them now when they're diseased and follow up on all the livestock and all the feed, et cetera, it can cost $250,000 to get something straightened out, whereas with one of these kinds of things, it only costs $75,000. But that's not the big deal. The big deal is if you want to sell your product or your livestock to local small farms, no big deal, not a problem. But there are countries with whom we're doing international commerce, and they're saying we won't accept any of your animals if they don't have the proof that they have none of these diseases. So maybe your livelihood is all wrapped up in shipping your materials to Japan, and Japan absolutely refuses to accept any of this kind of livestock unless it can be proven they don't have anything. All right. But if it stays with livestock, no big deal, is it? It isn't a big deal. But what if it moves to people? And that's where you need to know the work is taking place. The question that's asked is this. They're talking about bracelets and anklets worn by newborn babies. And Katie, I'm sure you know what we're talking about, and those who have served in medical. How many hate to hear the stories of babies being kidnapped out of hospitals? And so they're talking about putting bracelets on them so they can follow. Very reasonable. They're talking about putting chips on people's parents to prevent kidnappings, or the elderly nursing home patients with Alzheimer's from being wanderers. In 2005, the financial revenues were $24 million for that kind of technology. The chips are being targeted at an estimated 45 million high-risk patients, diabetic, heart patients, brought into hospitals. Maybe they'll come in unconscious and they'll need some help. It all sounds reasonable. And then there are some who say, oh, they're never going to get the requirement to have people do this. That'll never get through legislature. You know, listen, guys, listen carefully to me. That'll never get through legislature. Okay? How many understand it doesn't have to? The way it unfolds, and I just read a whole bunch of scriptures to you, is if all the medical practitioners are set up on this, and all the hospitals are set up on this, then who are the patients who get the treatment? So therefore, by default, they don't need to have the legislation, do they? I'm a jovial kind of guy. It's a terrifying kind of day. It's real, church. Is this the mark of the beast? Maybe. Maybe. I know there are several people that I hope you're still friendly with me afterwards who work in the computer industry. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you a little story on her. You can just laugh with her afterwards. Pastor Sherry, for the longest time when I knew her, used to always say computers are the mark of the beast. Now, I don't know anyone who's more adept at a computer now, except for maybe Roxanne with computer. But, you know, isn't it interesting, the technology? And they're saying, oh, you can opt in and opt out if you don't like it, but what you find in the book of Revelation is you can no longer buy and sell. And spirit of deception, it all sounds reasonable. I mean, how many want identity theft? No, you just simply put the chip inside and, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, it's being implanted on the right side, the right hand. It sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it to you? Come on, somebody say amen. Bail me out. It sounds reasonable because, gosh, I don't want my credit cards stolen. I don't want my identity stolen, and this is unique just to me. I was reading a humorous part of this where they can implant the sushi chip in you, and after you've had your sushi, they can just walk by the scanner and beep in your charge goes, you know. So just church, what really is going to happen? Now, you can think I'm crazy, but I'm here to simply inform. This is already in development. Not only in development, it's developed, and it's 60 times smaller than this, as easy as it can be. Now, if we come up, and we really are in the final days, if we are the generation to see all of this wrap up, are you prepared? The bottom line question is, are you prepared? A lot of people preach a rapture. What if that's not true? I didn't just take your blanket from you. What if it doesn't happen? I'm going to talk about the rapture in a few weeks. What if it doesn't? If it does, we're all having a party on the way up, right? Wow, praise God, high five, woo! But listen, one of the reasons I'm even bringing these messages is to help us be ready. Jesus, what are you doing? I can tell you, look on history's pages for what he did. Look on the world scene for what's unfolding. And come to your knees before God and say, it is not time to play around with God. I want to be right. And if I'm right with God, no matter what happens, then I'll be ready. No matter what happens. If the mark of the beast is something like this, then at least you have some information and awareness. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Walk with Jesus. Amen. How are you going to help each other? I'm going to love you. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to hope you pray for me. And if we have a disaster, then I'm coming to your house. No, we're all going to Pastor Carlin's church. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, right. No, what are we going to do? We're going to stay together. We're going to help each other. And we're going to encourage each other. And in the midst of your temptation, you don't have to tell me the specifics of what you're going through, but you can know that you're going to be on my heart and I'm going to be praying for you as you face that day and that temptation, because I want to see you stand strong with Jesus and not turn aside to the right hand or to the left, because the Bible says, here is the way, walk ye in it. And I want to be able to say, oh God, my ears are digged out and I want to hear you and I want to walk with you and I don't want to turn aside. I don't want to come to the end of my life having walked with you for 40 years and then say, oh, he's not coming, he's not worth walking with anymore, I don't care, it doesn't matter how I live. Church, it matters how you live. It matters what you do. It matters how you stand with Jesus Christ. It matters your uprising, your down sitting. It matters what you think. It matters what you do day by day. Well, Pastor Kev, you're just up there shouting at me. Are you perfect? Absolutely not. I'm shouting at you. Please pray for me. I'm not. But we're in the community of Christ because these days are serious that we are in. This whole series has begun and been birthed because the heart of God is beating and He's saying, I want my people to be ready. I want them to be prepared. I want people to come to me. And if the time comes short and we say and hear the voice, the bridegroom cometh, I don't want to be one of the five foolish virgins who just happened to run out of oil. Oh God, I don't know how it's all going to unfold. I do know you're good. I do know that you love us. But I do know that each of us in this room is responsible to make a choice. And I urge you this morning, make the choice. Surrender. Get right with Jesus, who loves you so. Yield to Him, and take on yourself the mark of God and not the mark of the beast. Amen?
Amen.
And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Elaine, would you come, please? Shall we stand? Yeah, happy Father's Day to you too, Pastor Kev. Let me conclude with a couple of scriptures. As you're standing there, Elaine, if you'll just go back. Yeah, right. Whatever on your heart. I want you to listen to a couple of scriptures as we close. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2, 19. Nevertheless, this is fantastic, you guys. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Peter 2, 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. But He can deliver. He knows those who are His. And they conclude in Revelation 15 with this song of the Lamb saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of saints. Lord, we want your mark. We want yours. We don't understand, Lord Jesus, how it's all going to wrap up. But I do know we're in serious days. Lord, I thank you that we have a community of friends that we can come and worship together with and come spend time in the Word with, come look at these things together with. And as we leave here today, Lord, help us make sure our walk and our heart is right with you. Help us love each other on this journey. Because, Lord, we need you and we need each other and we need your word. Thanks for this time we've had. Bless each one. As they go, let them go with joy, knowing that they're right with you. If you're here this morning and you know you're not right with God, I'll be waiting right here. Come on up. Let's pray. Take time. Be honored to pray with you. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, let this be the day you do so. Take on His mark. He's a great God and He loves you so. If you need prayer for healing, we'll be up here to pray. We believe God answers prayer. Amen? I pray that you have a fantastic day in the Lord. At least we can say we've been a little more informed.